open your eyes to people in Target or Walmart or people crossing the street, because what you're idolizing, basically worshiping, is such a skewed perception of beauty and fashion.
Welcome to The Lavender Lifestyle, the podcast on personal growth and lifestyle design. My name's Eileen, and I'm here to guide you to become a master artist of life. Every Sunday, you'll get new insight and inspiration on how to create your dream life. After the episode, the conversation continues in our Lavender Lifestyle Facebook group, so I can't wait to see you there. Life is an art. Make it your masterpiece. Hey guys, welcome back to The Lavender Lifestyle. It's Eileen again. So today's episode is a special treat because we have my friend Amy Lee coming on as a guest. You might know of Amy Lee through her YouTube or Instagram at Amy Lee or Vagabond Youth. Amy Lee is a 24-year-old Los Angeles native who has been creating online video for nearly 7 years. Her channel delves into fashion, beauty, and lifestyle and aims to inspire both emotionally, intellectually, and sartorially. Amy is just so much fun, and I'm sure you'll enjoy this podcast, especially if you're interested in YouTube, fashion, beauty, and self-love. Hi, Amy. Welcome to The Lavender Lifestyle.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I know, I'm so excited to talk to you. Before we get into anything, I want our listeners to learn about who you are. Let's start from the beginning. How and why did you start YouTube?
So I've been on the internet since I was probably like 7 or 8, and I found text bloggers, like fashion bloggers, on the internet, and I just became super enamored by, you know, fashion blogging. And I think that was a time where like people were taking, like, blogs were just pretty much everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
is this like lookbook days?
Yeah. Oh yeah. My god, I still love
lookbook. I was
lookbook.
So into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. And like there are people who are lookbook famous, so yes. It was like crazy. But yeah, so that's where I found, like, you know, Ami Song and like Rumi Neely from Fashion Toast, and mm-hmm. I just really loved fashion, and I grew up reading style.com, which probably gave me body dysmorphia, to be honest. But yeah, so then I basically just bought a pair of shoes, and there were two shoes that were really popular at the time. It was the Jeffrey Campbell Lita, which I don't know if you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
And then
they
look like horse hooves. They're so awful.
I had those too, like a replica, yeah. Not the exact one.
Yeah, I had that. And then the next shoe that was like going to be really big was like the Jessica Simpson Dainey platform, and they look very similar to the Lita. And I bought those not knowing that they were going to be like really popular in the next coming months. And my brother had just downloaded like the 8mm app, which everyone still uses for Instagram stories. So crazy. Wow. Yeah. And then
it was around back then.
Yeah. But It was just like no one really used it. It was still very startup-y and had a lot of bugs. Mm-hmm. But I bought the shoes and I was really excited. And then I asked my brother basically, oh, could you like record me like wearing the shoes, like just my feet? Sounds really creepy now, but I was wearing like stockings and like yeah. socks and everything. And then I just put it to like the Kills tape song, and then I uploaded that video. It was like 30 seconds onto YouTube. It's my first video ever on my channel. It's private now because
is it still up?
No.
Oh, no.
It's private because it's copyrighted. Also, it's just like weird because it's just literally me posing in shoes. But yeah, so then people started basically searching like Jessica Simpson Dainey platforms, and then I think like in that week it got to 1,000 views, and then a lot of the comments were like, I know back then it's like I couldn't even fathom, like, oh my god, 1,000 mm-hmm. views, like woohoo, you know. And then they were just like, oh, we love these shoes, like, can you style them? And so I did. So the next video I did was like 3 ways to style like platform sandals. Mm-hmm. And then from there people were just like, oh, we love your style, can you, you know, style a black dress or something like that. And so that's pretty much how I got started. And then I feel like at that time that's when like Closing Counters, like Jen M, she and like a few other channels were really starting to like take off. But for the most part the fashion community was pretty much non-existent besides like, you know, Jen M and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I feel like I was on there like pretty much maturely, like not knowing that I was gonna do YouTube. But right. It was like, yeah, so that was like when I was like 17 or 18, and now the space, like I'm about to turn 25 next month, and the space has changed completely, which is so insane.
It's grown up.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Did you feel like you were posting consistently back then, or were you just kind of like, you know, whenever you felt like it?
Oh, whenever I felt like it. I feel like I was on YouTube, like I had my account for like 2 years, but I didn't start taking it seriously as like, oh, you know, I'm going to have a schedule and upload consistently till like those 2 years in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And how would you say you've evolved over the years? Because I know even your content has evolved. Like, what has changed?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, even the way that we connected, it's very telling that my content and like my interests have changed so much, because I love your channel.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think it was like before it was a lot more fashion and beauty, but definitely more fashion. And I rarely veered from that genre. But these days, I think I'm a lot more, not jaded, I'm just like, it's like you can only do a lookbook so many times about like winter and summer and stuff like that. So now it's like more lifestyle based. I'm definitely into spirituality, self-help, personal development, and just like I'm more interested in sharing what I'm into other than just my clothes now, I guess.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like you've always been authentic. So you just, your content changes based on what you're authentically into.
Oh, thank you.
My question is, have you always loved reading books, or did this like spark later on in life? How did you get into self-help?
For me personally, I always grew up reading a lot. I remember reading Oprah's like book club list when I was like 8 or 9. I read, I remember reading The Road by Cormac McCarthy at like 10 years old. And if you've read that book, it is so abstract and avant-garde, and it is a post-apocalyptic zombie book kind of, and I remember having nightmares about it when I was like 10. So I feel like when I was younger, I read a lot, and then, you know, they make you do that weird vocabulary test when you're like young, and it's like, oh, you score like that of a high school student or like a college student. And I remember back then, like I scored college level, but I feel like now I don't even talk that way. Like,
oh,
I feel
you
like
used to talk that way.
I feel like I talked way more, like I used the word like I think I talked way more eloquently now. I'm like, that's fire, it's lit, fam. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I talk more like a 10-year-old now. But yeah, so I always liked reading, but then I think when like academia started to get more rigorous, I pretty much dropped the ball, because like you're just, you know, core reading is like, you know, what you're assigned to read. And then I kind of hated reading. And then I think after I graduated college, I was like, wait, like you used to love reading books. And so ever since I graduated, now that we're kind of like, you know, we control our own time, essentially, I feel like now I can read again, like the way that I used to do when I was a kid. But for like the majority of my adolescence, it was mainly just like high school reading and college reading and like curriculum reading. And it really sucked the soul out of me, you know what I mean?
Me too. I used to love reading when I was like a child. Like, my mom would take me to the library, and then during like high school and college, I didn't read anything outside of school. And it was after college I had to like relearn how to read my own books.
Yeah, and like have concentration and actually stick and commit to something, because I feel like in this day and age of like digital satisfaction, it's really hard to like stay focused.
It is. It's like, yeah, you have to turn on another switch. But with personal growth books specifically, did that start recently? Or how'd you get into that?
So I went through, like, not to be very Taylor Swift, but to be very Taylor Swift, I went through a pretty bad breakup in 2016. And I think it made me face a lot of like that, which I just did not, I basically just didn't want to talk about, which is like, you know, like how to be a better person, how to be more emotionally in tune. And like, we always talk about IQ, but we don't really talk about EQ. And so I started reading books on like how to feel better about yourself just holistically. And like that kind of spirituality also kind of like dipped into like self-help and development. And I've always been interested in like finance and how to be more like fiscally savvy. And so I was reading like books by like Dave Ramsey, Robert Kiyosaki, just because of pure curiosity. But I feel like it was the breakup that made me, like, that propelled me and was a catalyst into like really like learning about all these types of books and these famous gurus and stuff like that. And I remember how I found Lavendaire was like, I loved quotes. And I think I've told you this maybe at lunch, but my intern, like literally 3 years ago, she was like, oh, there's this YouTuber and she does these videos where she talks about her favorite quotes and she dissects them. And she was like, I really think you would like them. And I was like, oh my God, like, I love it. And then like, I remember subscribing and then just kind of going down the rabbit hole of like, you know, I just felt so like your story resonated with me, because I think a lot of self-help and development is, you know, geared for like the male gaze, but like you were an Asian American girl who was like sharing her favorite quotes. And I was like, I love this.
I appreciate that so much, because that Words of Wisdom series, like, it wasn't very popular, but I did it because I was so interested in like, you know, reading and quotes, but I actually stopped it because I was like, oh, nobody wants to watch this.
No. I totally understand. Like, for me, quotes and, like, words, they totally inform and dictate not only the way that I see things, but also the way that I feel. So, like, seeing someone else, mm-hmm. like, dissect, like, their feelings and what this word and what this, you know, like, sentence meant to them, it was, like, so refreshing, especially because I'd come from, like, such a fashion and beauty background on YouTube.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, you know, maybe it wasn't, you know, well-received, but I really liked it.
Yeah. I know. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I recently watched your apartment tour video. It's so beautiful. And you have like such a cool aesthetic. I think everyone who knows you would consider you very stylish. So were you always stylish growing up? How did you find your style?
Oh, yes. I was always a fashion icon. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like I've always had like a certain taste. Like I always, like my mom will tell you like in, you know, ages 4 to 6, like I never took off these like rubber Gap sparkly shoes. The jelly shoes. I don't know if you remember them. Like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, and she was like, you never took off overalls. But I feel like, honestly, the majority of my life, I was pretty much a tomboy. Like, I grew up wearing Nike. I had a bowl cut. I was raised by pretty much my father and my brother. My mom was a working mom. Mm. So, I never really got to see her until I pretty much like got my period, and then I wanted to start wearing Abercrombie and Fitch, and you know, just went through that whole weird adolescent phase. So, like, I think it was only until when I hit like probably 13 or 14 where I really started to like high fashion, which is like where my love for like text blogging and, you know, looking at runway shows, because I think a lot of people, especially on YouTube, kind of confuse fashion and personal style. Like, personal style is amazing, but it's literally just like going thrifting and finding what you like. But then high fashion is, you know, like seeing what's, you know, on the runway for like SS 2016 or, you know, fall winter. And I grew up like, I think I went from like tomboy to like, I want
to
be
too high fashion.
Yeah, I want to be Kate Moss in like literally a year. And it was just honestly because I've spent so much time on the computer. I just really love like clothes and fashion as an art. But I feel like, yeah, I was a tomboy pretty much all my life. And then I think when I got my period is when things changed.
When puberty hit you, you're like, oh.
I was like, I want to be like, I want to look like them, but totally unachievable. But yeah. Very, that's I feel like where my unhealthy standards of like fashion and beauty came in, and I'm like, no.
I see. Well, yeah. I do want to talk about that because I think now you're such an advocate for like confidence and self-love, but I'm sure it wasn't an easy road getting there. And now, like being where you are right now, what advice would you give your younger self and I guess our listeners who are struggling with that?
I feel like it's so crazy because like I'm older now and I feel like I know so much more now, but I still deal and battle with so much of the same things that I dealt with when I was like 12. And most of it has to do with like body image and body confidence. And like, I'm very pro body positivity, but it's something that I deal with like very inherently and innately because of like my love for, you know, clothes and garments and fashion. But I guess to answer the question, I would just tell her, tell little Amy, who's like obsessed with style.com and runway shows, is like also like learn to celebrate the bodies that aren't on the runway and to like open your eyes to people in Target or Walmart or people crossing the street, because what you're idolizing and what you're fantasizing and basically worshiping is such a skewed perception of beauty and fashion, and it's essentially an art form, which is exactly why you are enamored by it. But remember to see beauty in all shapes and sizes and colors, because like when you're older, it's really gonna mess with you.
Do you want to talk more about that, the journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also like, so, you know, style.com got bought out by this big fashion company and it's basically not around anymore, and so there's actually no place on the internet where you can actually look at style or runway shows immediately, except for maybe like the Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week YouTube. But for that purpose, I think that there's nothing like that platform anymore. And so everything kind of just for me moved to Tumblr. And like Tumblr is very, you know, like aesthetically pleasing, artistically driven photos. And so much of the fashion photos there are, you know, thin white women. And even though style.com is like, it was just such a short part of my like adolescence, I think so much of my, I still use Tumblr. Like Tumblr is defunct now, I feel, but I'm obsessed with Tumblr. I still am inundated by those images and the artistry of like the photos on there.
Yeah.
And so even though like, you know, it just moved from one platform to another. And I remember like being obsessed with fitness blogs, but you know, on Tumblr, they're not really fitness blogs. They're like get skinny blogs. Mm. And I remember like just following all these girls on Tumblr who had lost like 30 pounds by, you know, following this certain like regimen. And looking back on it, they were like literally eating a banana for breakfast, oatmeal for lunch, and a salad with some chicken for dinner. And they were losing 20 pounds. And I remember they were taking photos of like thigh gaps and their ribs popping out. And like, this is so, I don't think I've ever talked about this, but I remember saving those pictures and like putting them on my phone background and like screenshotting these like diet regimens. And I'm like, looking back, that entire one meal day of eating is like my one meal.
Crazy.
Like I'm eating like four times that much a day.
Well, and like a normal person.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but it's just crazy how like, you know, 14 and 15, like I had no like self-awareness for not only my body dysmorphia, but for my obsession with like thinness. And like, this is something that I feel like is so off brand for me. And I think that's why I don't talk about it, because like, I do think now, like I'm so ashamed of it, but also like, I didn't know any better. I was like 14, 15. Yeah. And like, I just had a very skewed idea of like body image. And I think now, like, you know, curviness and, you know, thigh gaps are definitely a thing of like the past. I think we're now celebrating women who honestly were like the body shape that, you know, we should praise honestly Black women for, but have been, you know, kind of on this stage by like people like Kim Kardashian and stuff like that. But honestly, those bodies were always originally owned by women of color. And I think that's amazing that we're like celebrating more than one body type. It's like so crazy to think about. Like that's like where my headspace was when I was like in high school, thinking about like, I just want to be skinny, you know? And it's funny because I've never been overweight my whole life, but like just by my sheer fascination. Yeah, exactly. And like, hopefully people can relate to that, but it is something that I don't talk about because I think I inherently feel very ashamed now that I'm growing, like not only growing into my body, but like just understanding, like it doesn't even matter what weight you are. Like you should celebrate your body because it's literally the one thing keeping you alive. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly. Your body does so much to support you. It allows you to live your life.
Exactly.
And well, when you say that and you say that you're ashamed, like I can totally relate to being a teen, and I read Tumblr too. And I like, you know, wanted that dream body too. And I'm sure listeners out there can totally relate. And I think you should definitely share your story on this. Don't be ashamed, because I think it's important for you to share. But what I was saying is, back then, like body confidence, self-love was not even, it wasn't even in my mind. I didn't even know those terms.
That's so true.
I think now we're lucky that society has progressed and we've kind of opened our eyes a little more.
Yeah,
I don't know where I was trying to go with that, but
No, I totally agree. I think we're more aware and conscious as a generation, because a lot of the jokes that we see in like 90s rom-coms are very slut-shamey and rapey.
Oh, yeah.
And like, it's crazy to see just like in, you know, 10, 15 years, how much the, you know, social climate has changed. And like, you're right. Like I think I'm ashamed of it now, because like now we wouldn't even talk about like how much we're, you know, I mean, maybe at some point that if you love fashion, you definitely like idolize
you felt
the real
that way.
Thin body. So but it's I totally agree, like times are changing.
That's good. Aside from, I guess, the fashion world, where do you draw inspiration from now? Is there anything that you're recently fascinated with?
Honestly, I grab a lot of inspiration just from like my pure curiosity, and that's just like, because I love a lot of things. Like I'm inspired by traditional art, so like paintings and music, films, books, and like people. Are we just talking about general inspiration or like fashion inspiration general?
Well,
right,
I would say inspiration for your content, I guess, like what you decide to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, like art, traditional art. And then my favorite, like people, which is, you know, like people that I really genuinely love for their mind. All I can think of right now is Oprah, which is so funny because I've been listening to so much of her. Super Soul Sunday podcast. Like I love that. I've been really into Michael Pollan and Anthony Bourdain, and they're so polarizing because one of them advocates like health and awareness for what we eat, and the other one's like, eat everything, go to all cultures, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, I think primarily I'm like inspired by how I feel as well. Because some days, you know, like I feel like bad about myself, but all days I always want to be a better person. And for whatever that means, like being healthier, being more self-aware, being more compassionate. And I think that's what drives most of my content. It's like, how can I be a better person and not tell people how to be mm-hmm. better people, but just show them that I'm actively on the journey of being a better person. Because I feel like a lot of my content isn't about like how to live a more productive life, because mm-hmm. like I feel like I'm still figuring that out. And so a large part of my channel, yeah. my content is like how I'm trying to live a more productive life. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. I think that's what makes you so relatable, and your content is so like just honest, because you just share.
Oh, thank you.
What I like about you is that you're interested in so many different things, but you pull it all together and you use that.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I'm like not cohesive at all. So it's nice to hear
no,
that.
No, but that's what makes it interesting, that your interests are like everywhere and you're open to anything.
Yeah, for sure.
And then earlier when you're talking about like being fascinated with art, it just reminded me of like your art ho.
Oh, collection, yeah.
Your earrings.
Yeah. I do love.
Do you want to talk about your holiday collection real quick?
Oh, yeah. So this past December, I basically was approached by a third party like company who I got to partner with, and they were kind of like the behind the scenes partner, but we worked like predominantly it was a lot of my spearheading everything, but they were just like my financial partner, but mm-hmm. they approached me and it was just like a friend of a friend, and mm-hmm. I got to pull some pieces that were manufactured both in China and in downtown Los Angeles in the fashion district. And I like, as much as I love fashion and beauty and influencing, I think the heart of it is like I don't want to be someone who pushes product in your face. Like at the end of the day I might have to, because like I genuinely love products, but I don't think I've ever been like a fit tea or like mm-hmm. I don't know, I just don't want to shove products in people's faces, and I only want to share things that I genuinely love and like can genuinely endorse. And so we kept the collection like 5 pieces, very minimal, so people couldn't I just feel like people couldn't be like, oh, you just want our money, because, you know, it's literally 5 pieces. Like, you don't even have to buy if you don't mm-hmm. want to, you know? And so, and it was 5 pieces I genuinely love. Like, I wear the pieces all the time, regardless of the holidays. And yeah, we just got to market it. It was very, like, the turnover rate was honestly, like, 3 weeks. And thank God for my really close friend, Sandy, because she really came through and she basically took all my photos. And, like, it was literally done in, like, 2 hours. The sun was setting so quickly. We had to use flash photography. A lot of the photos are flash, not because intentionally, but because we literally ran out of sunlight.
Necessity. Oh my gosh. I mean, it still looked great, and I'm happy that you pulled it off. So after that experience, are you planning to continue doing more things like that?
Personally, I am. How I feel is like I'm 50-50. Like, depending on, I don't really know. You know, like, I guess this is not at the forefront of my mind, I guess. It's like, it was fun and I would love to do it again. But like, if it doesn't, if I also just don't feel like doing it, I won't. I don't know. This is such an awful answer. Just 50-50. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Okay, let's move on. I want you to walk me through your routine. What does the typical day or week look like?
So I try to wake up around somewhere before or at least around 8. And then if it's usually if the weather is warm, I will go work out. But I think because it's been so rainy and dreary, I haven't been really working out that much. But I'll go work out, come home, eat, shower, probably dilly-dally till about like 11 or noon, and then start filming or maybe like going to event. Like today was mainly an event day. And then towards the end is when I usually check like emails and correspondence and stuff like that. I typically don't like to start my day with emails because I feel like emails can be done at night, whereas like filming and meeting people and networking has to be done in the daytime for what just because I use natural light. And then usually nighttime I hang out with friends. Like I usually go to dinner, you know. I a lot of my life is either social or at home, like speaking to a camera, which I'm sure you can relate to.
Well, I feel like you're pretty social for a YouTuber because some people just don't go out.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
You go out pretty often.
I do. I'm definitely not a homebody.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And do you like batch videos at a time, or do you have like scheduled days to shoot?
No, I'm very not a planner when it comes to my content, which is something that like I used to be very like Google Calendar, like planner and appointment based and stuff. But I think as I become more and more an adult, which is ironic because like in school, you know, you're given like a rubric and a syllabus and stuff. And so I like had this whole system. But I think for me, like I work best under pressure, which is so bad.
Like you put yourself under pressure.
Yeah. So like I literally can edit and like shoot things really fast and they'll probably be my best content because I work best under freaking out. And that's probably not healthy for me because like, yeah exactly. Cause it's like pro procrastination. And like, that's something I want to reverse because like in college, I was not, actually that's not true. I've always been like this.
Yeah. Cause in school you like cram and like it works.
Yeah. And I also worked in like journalism for 3 years and like journalism is like, regardless of whether or not you want to procrastinate, you get a story and a lead and you have to start now. Yeah. You know, so I think I've always just been someone who worked best under pressure. It's like if you give me too much time, wow, it's like it'll take me that much time to do it, but if you give me 30 that's minutes true. Yeah, so I don't really have a schedule for that.
I think that's a law, that's a productivity law. I think it's called Parkinson's law, like where your work will fill up the time that you allot it. So if you give yourself a week to do something, it's going to take a week, but if you give yourself a day, it'll take a day.
So I do that. I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean, it works. Yeah. That's great. Since we're on this topic, and I know a lot of listeners want to be a YouTuber like you, do you have tips for people out there looking to get started? Is it too late to start in fashion, you think?
I genuinely believe that YouTube and the internet is so beautiful and that it's such a democratizing space and those who don't have a voice can come to the internet and find their community. And so as saturated as the place is, I do feel like at any moment, like you have the opportunity to go viral. You have the opportunity to basically just shake up the space because like the internet is meant to be, it's like, in and of itself, like the core of it is like a disruptive thing. And so I think it's so demoralizing when people are like, you know, I don't think you can be, you know, like the next Michelle Phan or Ami Song or whatever that might be. I think like you can totally enter at any time. And I think my only advice is just in the way that we're all really, really different and like idiosyncratic and like all the ways that we have our own quirks and weirdness, I would just say like, if anything, highlight those, like highlight what makes you different, not try to fit a mold. And I think so much of my channel was trying to fit like a fashion blogger mold or like trying to be cool, trying to be straight face when in reality, like people would always tell me like, you're such a goofy person. Like you make really weird faces, like you snort and you cackle. Yeah. And I was like, honestly taken aback because I think my level of self-awareness was really low back then. And now it's like, I still inherently try to be like this fashion blogger, like cool person. But like, I think my channel always does better when I'm more authentically my goofy self. And for so long, I try to hide that. But I think that in the end, the very things that you think are going to be your flaws or your faults or things that you think might not be well received are probably the things that are going to take you further on YouTube because people want representation and people want to be seen. And if they can see that in you, however weird and oddly flawed you are, those are probably going to be your strengths. And so like if I could tell myself anything back in the day, it was like, show people like that you like to dance weird, show people that you snort and are weird and trip over your words and stuff like that, because I think I tried to hide so much of that when I was first starting out. And luckily I think the space is always evolving, so it's always, I think, welcoming for new people. So I would just say play up your differences rather than play them down, because just like in life, that's probably what's going to get you further.
I completely agree. And even watching your videos, like I love your videos because you show yourself like dancing while cleaning your room or like I just love it because I could never really show that. Like I don't do that. But what I want to say, what I want to add to that is like, no matter how saturated you think the internet is, like there's no you, like there's no one else like you. So if you bring your unique voice to the internet, like that is something different. So
I just got goosebumps when you said that because I totally agree. Yeah. And that's like, it's the internet is just like a microcosm of like the world. Mm-hmm. So if we just all played up what made us different, I think that the world would be way more vibrant and colorful.
Yeah, it'd be a beautiful place, much more beautiful. Today's sponsor is Drops. Drops delivers powerful, eco-friendly cleaning products right to your door. I personally love using laundry pods. They're super easy, just pop them in with your laundry. Well, Drops invented the laundry pod, and then they made them even better. There are no fancy swirls or dyes used in their products. Instead, Drops offers a plant-based, chlorine-free, biodegradable way to take care of your home and the environment. My favorite part is that their products are packaged and delivered sustainably. They come in a plastic-free, compostable box that doubles as the shipping container. The packaging is so genius for reducing waste. I shared it on my Instagram because I was so excited about it. Plus, their products are also cruelty-free, never tested on animals, and manufactured in the US, supporting local jobs and fair wages. If you're looking for a more environmentally friendly way to do your laundry, try Drops. Visit drops.com/lavendaire. That's spelled drops.com/lavendaire and enter lavendaire at checkout to get an extra 30% off your first order of convenient, plastic-free, and eco-friendly cleaning. Every drops counts. What is one thing that most people don't know about you? Like anyone that follows you online, what is something that you think they would be surprised to find out?
I think that, I don't know. Wow, this is so strange.
Or do you kind of share everything? Because I'm curious, you know?
I always joke like to my friends and stuff saying that, you know, body dysmorphia is so off-brand for me. Like, I think that I am so pro body positivity and so like self-love and like flaunt who you are rather than hide who you are. But like, I think there was a time where like people were really coming for certain YouTubers like Laura Lee, and they were like going on their old Twitter feeds and just pulling up literally tweets from like 8 years ago about how problematic they were. And that made me really scared because I've been on Twitter for so long. And so I went back to my archive of tweets and like I try to see anything racist or homophobic or anything problematic that I might have said. And honestly, the ironic thing but also the most almost like expected thing is like I think the only problematic things I ever talked about were probably like weight shaming. Like I would talk about like, oh, going to the dining hall and feeling, I think I tweeted like, oh, yeah. It's funny because I went back and deleted those tweets, but now I'm putting them on record. But it was like, oh, I just went to the dining hall and I feel like 500 pounds, like, haha. And it's like, yeah, like I think as much as I promote all of that, I think that's probably the thing that's most off brand is like, I do struggle a lot with the way that I look. And even though like, I'm so for like doing what you want, like I'm so for like people wanting to do plastic surgery. And for me, just personally, that's not my thing, but I'm like for it for other people. It's just like, I think my weight is something that I never really talk about. I'll never do like, I in all of history, like I work out and like I'm very fascinated by diet, but I've never done like a fitness or like eating regimen. And I think that's just like something because I feel so inauthentic about. It's like, why should I preach about, you know, like working out or eating a certain way when it's like inside I feel so freaking internally conflicted, and I just feel guilty. Like it's like the shame and the guilt and everything. And I think it's because like logically and rationally and like the way that I navigate my life, it's like I'm so pro body positivity and but it's like so hard to rewire what's been wired in me for so long. And so I think that I've never really talked about this on my channel. And so I think that's probably the thing that people are like, whoa, like sometimes Amy says problematic things, I'll wait. But, you know, it's like something I'm very conscious of now. But I think it's just weird that I even said those things when I was like younger. I mean, they weren't totally problematic, but I, you know.
Okay, the way I see it is you, because you know how you say like, oh, body dysmorphia is so off-brand because you're all about like self-love and body love. But the way I see it is you promote those positive concepts because you had that shame and all of the issues that you went through in the past. Do you know what I mean? Like you wouldn't,
that's so nice.
You wouldn't
that's feel really positive.
The way, no, it's true. You wouldn't feel the way you feel now so strongly and passionate about these topics if you didn't go through that. So I don't think it's wrong to like admit that you used to feel a certain way. It's not off brand because it shows that you've grown in these past 8 years or something, right?
That's true. Yeah. I guess I never thought of it that way. I think it's because, you know, like you're always your harshest critic. And I always just wish that like I could have just gone from like loving myself to like, pro body positivity, you know, instead of like, I hate my body. Like, I want
to. That's not how it works.
I know. That's so true.
Nobody's like perfect and nobody's born knowing what self love is.
That's so true.
You know?
That's so true. Yeah. I think. think. Right? I guess it's because, like, for me, like, I try overall to not be a problematic person. And it's like, I never had to, like, go through, like, homophobia or racism to be true, like, don't do that, you know? But, like, I also feel shame because it's so personal. It's, like, a personal topic. Whereas, like, the things I advocate, like, Black rights or just human rights in general or, like, feminism, it's like, those are personal, but they're not personal to me in the way that, like, on my day-to-day basis, I still, like, see it in the mirror. And it, like, I'll see a bad photo and it will essentially spiral me downwards. And then I get shamed for, like, allowing that to happen. And so I think for me, it's something that's not only just every day, but it's so, so personal. And then I think it hits close to home. That's something that that's very strange, but it's also probably a good thing. Is like, my body dysmorphia is like literally just me. Like, I will look at my legs and see them a certain way, but when I see like a woman who is my size or even like curvier or heavier or whatever it might be, like, I'm literally like praising them, like, they look so great. And then I think that's where like I realize how warped my brain is, because like I see my friends who are, you know, just like a little bit thicker than me, they have more curves, and I'm just like, they look amazing in their bodies. And it's like, how come you can't enjoy the body that you're in? And so I think it's just a sensitive topic, because it's like I have like a third level of awareness now where I'm like, stop doing that, you know? Yeah.
I think that's fine, because you're on your journey just like everybody else is on their journey. I mean, nobody is perfect. So I think it just shows that this is an area that
that's
you're
very
still
positive.
Growing in.
That's a good way of thinking of it.
So I have a few questions from Instagram that I want to share with you. So Nikita asked, what experience in recent times has shifted your perspective about life?
Well, I recently tripped on acid. Is this going to make the podcast? Is this going to be the podcast explicit? That's fine. Okay.
That's not explicit.
Well, I feel like I recently tripped on acid, and I think all psychedelics are some sort of therapy, like, because they like uncover so much of emotional vulnerabilities and traumas that you've had in the past, and I think it makes you literally see them right there in front of you. And so I recently tripped on acid, and I think I just got to understand, like, it's why therapy is like always so focused on your childhood and like what made you, like, what is your first memory of being this way, etc., and stuff like that. And when I was on acid, I realized that so much of like my childhood is what dictated the way that I am today, and how actively I have to like undo so many of those things, essentially. And so, but it's so crazy, because like before acid, I was just like, oh, I'm just high-walled because I have high walls, you know? It's like, but then when I was on acid, it was like, oh, like that one time that I spoke about my feelings and somebody said that I was lying. And I, it just like, that kind of carried with me for pretty much my whole life. And I feel like I just realized like a lot of the things that linked back to my childhood are exactly the reason why I am the way I am. So just I feel like I've always been really introspective, but acid really did that for me. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah. And that could be pretty scary to face.
Oh, yeah. That's like, that's completely why so many people are afraid of, like, you know, quote unquote hardcore drugs. But for me, like, I'm always open to more levels of introspection. And so I think acid really did that for me.
I love that you shared that and you're so real about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Grisella asked, what do you do when you're feeling really down in life? How do you get through it?
When I'm feeling really down in life, I think before it would be like go work out, eat healthy, throw myself into work, and pretty much just repress all emotions. But now I think I really try to dissect, why is it that I feel that way? Who made me feel this way? Like, what are the underpinnings of my feelings? Like, where does it stem from? And then that'll take me, like, depending on how deep the situation it is, it'll take from like anywhere from an hour to like a whole day of journaling. Wow. And then I'll feel the feeling until the feeling is gone. So like before, I would just pretty much say like, I'm sad, I'm gonna go do all the things that they say to do in those like productivity articles, like go work out, go eat healthy, blah, 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 be active, go meditate. But now it's like I become very introspective, and then I feel the feeling, because back then I used to be afraid of being sad or angry or jealous or whatever it might be. But now I openly welcome it. I want the feeling to be there. And I think I heard this quote. It was like, feel the feeling, but don't become it. And yeah, ooh, so now I just try to feel it. And then when I've dealt with all that, then we go work out, eat healthy, socialize, and I do all the things that I used to do. But now I'm a lot better at not repressing, because I think I used to rationalize every single thing. Yeah. But now it's like, I think being sad or being upset, I don't glamorize it, but I understand that there's so much beauty in feeling the entire spectrum of emotion. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that. I completely agree.
Oh, thanks.
What a mature look on like emotions.
Yeah, thanks.
So one more question from Instagram. This is their username, Kanot Kai asked, what are your future plans for YouTube? Would you ever go into podcasting?
I would love to go into podcasting, but actually, honestly, you're inspiring me right now, Eileen, because I don't know how you do so many different things. Like, you literally do so many different types of media and stuff. Anyways, but I would love to do podcasting, but I think right now, YouTube and Instagram are just like my biggest primary sources. So for now, it's a no, just because I'm not as productive as Eileen.
Oh, really? Oh, no. You could totally do it. And you're such a natural talker. I feel like you could easily have a podcast.
Thank you. But for as far as like YouTube, I just want to help people. I think at the end of the day, like sharing information and helping people, like regardless of whether or not it's like a how-to video, I just want people to feel not only as though that they have a voice, like they can resonate with my story, but also just feel inspired and like empowered to be a better version of themselves, and not in a preachy way, just like they just see me like a 24-year-old girl trying to figure out her life. And you know, I hope that people can feel like, I don't know, just I hope I can help people through my content, as cheesy as that sounds.
You are
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so lastly, I have some rapid fire questions that I ask every guest on the show. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, what does your dream life look like?
Ooh, waking up in Malibu, meditating, doing some yoga, eating some very healthy kale, and reading a book.
I love that. That's kind of like my dream life, except I don't have to be in Malibu.
Oh, nice. Yeah, exactly. Malibu is very key, though, because like that's like my dream place to... Or like Kauai. I love the beach.
Like the beach. Yeah. I think you have like mermaid vibes. Like you love the ocean, huh?
I do.
Yeah, okay. I do. What is one book or resource that you recommend to everybody?
The Book of Awakening by Mark Nepo. Whether or not you're going through self-help, spirituality, trying to be a better person, the nuggets of wisdom in that book are essential for life.
I've seen that recommended so many times.
Yes.
I should read it now.
Yes. And it's perfect for the non-reader too, because it's a daily passage. Yes.
Awesome. What is one habit that changed your life?
Incorporating a fibrous cruciferous vegetable in my life, meaning like,
what is that?
It's like literally, I think it was Mark Zuckerberg. He said he wore the same outfit every single day because it's one less option or decision to make. And so when I started just always incorporating kale into my diet, and granted, I eat all other vegetables and try to, but kale is kind of like always incorporated in my diet regardless of whether or not I think about it. And I think that's not only changed my bowel movements, but also just like my overall health, because kale is so good for you. And like, if you think about the average person, like I think I eat way more kale than the average person, and that's solely because I was like, I'm gonna make this a part of my diet always, like whether it's like through dinner, lunch, breakfast, whatever, I'm always gonna eat kale. This is so weird.
Wow. So well, it is part of your dream life.
yeah and it really did, it changed my life. Like I literally poop so much better.
That's so funny. That's the first time I've heard that, and I love it. Do you mean like you eat it once a day or like with every meal?
It's a part of my life. Like it's so strange. Like it's like how people make working out a part of their life, or like how people make, I don't know, like, oh, I, you know, take 10 minutes to do this every day. It's like I make sure I eat kale at least once a day, or just like make sure it's in my like lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Like when I go grocery shopping, I have to get kale. And if there's a kale option on the menu, like I'm excited to get kale. It's like if through a smoothie, through kale chips, like if I see kale chips, I'm gonna go get that. You know, it's just like incorporating this vegetable like into my life forever. It's so weird. I know.
I'm like cracking up because I think someone could take a snippet of this podcast and make it like a meme of like an LA girl.
Yeah. I know, right? Like, okay, okay.
She's
like
obsessed with kale.
Yeah. But that's that's probably like the LA in me, because I chose kale out of all. But you know, you could do that with spinach. You could do that with honestly anything that's like very fortifying, I feel. I sound so ridiculous, but this changed my life, truly.
Okay, moving on. What is the best life or career advice that you've ever gotten?
Always try your best and do your best, because there is someone who's always better at something than you. And even at your best, like, someone can be better than you. So you should always try your best. And it's like, I always whole-ass everything, not half-ass anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important mentality to have. Put your heart in everything, because there's always going to be someone who's better than you. And I think that's both humbling and also can be dark. But I think it's a humbling thing.
Yeah, but it can inspire you to just do your best and not be lazy about it.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, last one. Finish the sentence. The most amazing part about life is...
how refreshing it is.
You are refreshing. Thank you so much, Amy.
Oh, thank you.
And lastly, where can our listeners find you online?
You can find me at youtube.com/vagabondyouth or on Instagram, amy_lee. And yeah, that's me.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being on The Lavender Lifestyle. I had so much fun.
Oh, thank you for having me, Eileen.
All right, I hope you liked that conversation with Amy Lee. If you have any thoughts or comments you want to share, feel free to tweet me at Lavender. You can tweet Amy as well, get us in on a conversation. So just to wrap up what I took away from this interview, I mean, first off, I love Amy's energy. I love that she is so curious in nature that she will learn about all these random topics and experience and explore what the world has to offer. And thus, it adds to who she is as a person. She's not just a girl who's into fashion and beauty. Like, she's so much more than that. I guess I love her ability to be into like high fashion and high art, but still be super relatable, fun, and real. She's just like a real person with an interesting mind, and I don't know, I like that. I also wanted to point out this concept that came to me after I talked to Amy. It's the concept that your problems are your gifts. So you know how Amy was talking about how she loved fashion, but reading fashion blogs online gave her a skewed view of her body, and she has like body dysmorphia, and she was still ashamed of it. She's still kind of going through that right now. The fact that she struggled with that in the past and is still kind of going through that is creating this foundation of like positivity that she can then share with the world. Basically, the reason why she can be so passionate about talking about like self-love and body confidence is because she's had to go through finding her own self-love and body confidence in herself, because she had to struggle through that. I think only when someone goes through the pain and the struggle can they come out stronger and thus have something to share with the world, something to give others. Now she's in a place where she can positively influence other people who are struggling with the things that she struggled with or is struggling with. I think when you share what you're going through, you empower others who are going through the same thing. It's like you realize you're not alone. There's someone out there who's going through the same thing that you're going through. And by sharing with each other, you can really support each other to grow together through that. So I thought that was a cool reminder that your problems are your gifts, and you should never be ashamed of the struggles that you've gone through in the past. All right, that's it for today. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you guys next time. All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to The Lavender Lifestyle. If you like this podcast, please show your support by leaving a review on iTunes. Next, make sure you check out the 2019 Artist of Life Workbook and the Daily Planner by Lavender on my website, lavender.com/shop. Lastly, you can catch me on YouTube and Instagram at Lavender, where I have even more content for the artist of life. Sending you so much love. Bye.